Have your Bible, open it up to Romans chapter 7. It'll be up on the screen. And I just want to tell you, Dan Huntington, speaking this Thursday night, he's one of the greatest preachers that you will ever hear. If you've not been here to hear Dan Huntington, you need to be here Thursday night because he is the man. Dan is the man. Dan, I don't think everybody knows who you are. Stand up so everybody can see you, okay? See how he got up? See, Garrett, that's what you got to learn. See, he jumped right up, put his hand up. Yep, that's me. And these guys got the most beautiful babies. We got the most beautiful. I took little Jordan this morning. I walked in. I snatched her right out of her mother's arms and just love to hang out with these babies. Romans chapter 7. I want to just talk to you about this today. Why did I do that? Last week, I shared some very interesting and intimate thoughts about that. And I want to continue on with that today. And just in the vein that I think it'll be challenging for some. It's challenging for me. And the more that I read and the more that I study this, and the more that I come to these moments in my life where I can say, why did I do that? I find out that it's healthy for me to recognize the wrongs that I do versus just doing them and saying, well, that's just who I am. That's just how I am. Like me or don't like me. That's that right there, that statement, that's just a prideful statement. And God's not going to be in favor of that in your life. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But he says in Romans 7:15, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do it. And again, what a great example of Paul recognizing something in his life that he's doing that is not good for him and it's not healthy for him. He goes on in verse 17, he says, as it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is this sin that's living in me, this old nature in my life, that even though I've become born again, even though I've given my life to Christ, there is this lingering hold of the old man that still resides in me that wants to have control and dictate over my life. And he recognizes it for who and what it is. And he says in verse 18, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. And if we read to the end of that chapter in verse 25, he says, thanks be unto the Lord Jesus Christ who gives us victory in this. And he starts in Romans 8:1 in the next chapter. He says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And this is the beautiful part about having Christ in our lives. And even though we've become born again, he's still working on our lives. He's working on you and I. I wish I could say that the moment that you become born again, you give your life to Christ, that he takes all those longings completely out of your life. But he gives you a pathway. He gives you an opportunity now to move in a new direction. And the more that we move in that direction, the more we become like him, and the less those holds on our life have any influence over us anymore. But at any moment that we give in to them, we become more like them instead of becoming more like him. And if you and I, we just want to be honest about life, we've probably echoed these words more than one time. And usually when we do something over and over and it hurts us in a way, and we say, why did I do that? And just as I've been talking about it more, I find these things coming up in my life more. Not necessarily that I'm doing it more, but now I'm identifying it when I do it, and I'm saying, there I go again. My son Ryan said, you need to tell everybody what happened last night. And I said, Ryan, just shut up a minute, will you? So we were at Gabe's basketball game. They're in sectionals. If you've followed any of the news, he has been the number one guy on that team, top scorer. He's a leader on that team with Notre Dame, and they were going up against a team they had expected to win, and I believe they would have. It was just the first few minutes he was in the game. He goes up for a rebound. He comes down, lands on his ankle. He twists that. He comes out of that game. It was so emotional. And he's hobbling, and his dad goes over, and the coach says, we better take him to the hospital. We're going to call an ambulance. Ben said, no, we'll take him. Ben picks him up. We're at Mount Morris, carries him out of the gym. He's crying. He gets him outside, and Gabe grabs his dad, and he's just crying because he's in pain. He feels like he let his team down. It's so emotional. My son, Ben, he's being the greatest dad. I'm so proud of him right there. He's crying with him. We're all crying. I'm feeling terrible. Amanda's gone to get the van, going to take him to Strong. I hurt my knee this week. I don't know how. So I said, I'm going to go get the car. So I'm hobbling along getting the car. I'm emotional. I'm crying. And all of a sudden, there's this car that's just, you ever just been driving in a parking lot, and this car just it's just coming like this to me. And I know what they want. They want to know, because there's the parking is packed. Here they came late. Now, all these things I'm thinking about, and I've already prejudged this person in a moment in my life. They're late. I mean, this is how my mind works. Are you going to judge me if I tell you the truth here? I'm thinking, you're late, you're lazy, you desire things that you didn't work for, and you just want to follow me up and ride on my coattails and take my... And I'm here hobbling, and I'm in pain, I'm crying, I'm emotionally spent, and this guy is right here like this. I stopped, and I turned around, and I looked, I go, will you just get out of my life? He rolls down his window, he said, I need a parking spot. Well, I said, go get one. Oh, I was hotter than the pistol. Then he says, you need to settle down. My knee hurt, but this didn't. Now, I kept on moving. I'm like, I didn't swear at him. I can call my name. Not out loud anyways. I got in my car. I'm driving. It didn't take me 5 seconds. Why did I do that? Okay, you satisfied now? And life can take you down that road if you don't identify and say, that's not good for me. That's not right for me. And the reality is that, you know, you can do anything you want to do. And I could say, you know, I'm hurt. And I did. I yelled out to the guy. My grandson just got hurt. I mean, I had a reason. I had a purpose. And I'm old enough where, you know, guys that get a little older, they think they can just say whatever they want to whoever they want at any time they want. That's not true. Listen to this. You can do anything you want, any time you want, but is it beneficial to you? Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12. I love how the Living Bible says it. He says, I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. This is so powerful the way he puts it. Because I have people all the time tell me, well, I can do this. The Bible says I can't. Nowhere in the Bible says I can't do this. I can do whatever I want to do. And if I had a nickel for every time somebody has told me in life, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Paul said, you can do it, but he said some of these things, they're not good for me. You know why? Because although I don't even know who the dude was, I hope you're not here today. If you are, I'm sorry. I'll buy you a coffee, lunch, whatever. I'm sorry. The reality, you see, is I do it to him. You know where I'm going to do it next? I'm going to do it to her. And this is the reality of it. Jesus didn't say, there's nowhere in the Bible that he says, okay, if you get a hurt knee and your grandson hurts his ankle and you're going, you get the car and somebody's driving you nuts. He doesn't say, you know, be nice to them, do this or that. He doesn't specifically say that, but it's not good for me. Come on, my brothers and my sisters. You know what I'm talking about right now. And he said, even if I'm allowed to do them, I will refuse to if I think that it might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. I had somebody argue with me a few weeks ago about the Jesus never said it wasn't okay to smoke pot. They're, you know, I can think of as one guy called them like a Taliban Christian. They're up in my face with my, it doesn't say in here that I can't smoke pot. I was like, you idiot. You're going to hurt yourself and those who are with you that you love. I'll get better. I will. And on a regular basis, you and I are presented with these options in our lives that causes us to make choices, sometimes choices based on anger, based on emotion, based on, you know, some drive that is in us that is pushing us into a direction that is unhealthy for us. And if we make a choice at that very moment, based on how we feel at that moment, it may not be good. If you read or look at the news, even in the last week, to see the things that people do in a moment that destroy their lives forever. And last week I spoke about the DNA that is in our lives that causes us to wrestle with some of this stuff, but we now, because of our family, because of who our parents were, because of that bloodline, but now the Bible says we have been born into the family of God. Ephesians 2:19, you are members of God's family. When you become born again, he gives you this new opportunity that I don't have to live the life that I used to live. I can now live a brand new life. And listen, for a moment after that happened and I said, why did I do that? I can remember my father. My father had an anger issue. He was mean and nasty. And that was a part of that old nature in my life coming, bubbling back up to say and to act in a way that is out of character for who I am and who I am called to be. And God says that he'll help you and I. The Bible says in James 4:6, he gives us more and more strength to stand against all such evil longings. But here's how it happens. As the scripture says, he gives strength to the humble and sets himself against the proud. So there is a pathway to receive the strength of God, and it's not through acting proud. It's through being humble. And, you know, could some of the issues that drive me to that create that I have this, believe me, I didn't have any humility when I did that last night. None. I was angry. I was mad. I had judged that person. I didn't even see their face. Don't know if they were young, old, white, black. Don't know who they were. I judged them, and it was wrong. Thank you for not just clapping on that and amen in me like that. But I want to read this little story out of the Old Testament. I want to help us today. It's in Numbers chapter 12. This is such a profound story. The Bible says Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of the Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. A Cushite was an individual that was born in the lower parts of Ethiopia. She was a black woman. Moses was a white man. They not only didn't like that, but they began to talk about him, and they took it another level. They says, has the Lord only spoken through Moses, they ask? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And then look what it says, and the Lord heard them. Now, God speaks to everybody. This is Old Testament. He spoke to these men of God, but there was more to this even than that. Moses, verse 3 says, he was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. That's saying something, isn't it? And at once the Lord says to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of the meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. And when the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is a faithful man in all of my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? In other words, he's saying, why do you just feel like you can just talk smack about him and everything is okay? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And the cloud, when the cloud lifted from the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow, and Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. He came to himself, didn't he? Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses, verse 13, he cries to the Lord, please God, heal her. And the Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. You talk about a why did I do that moment? That certainly could have been avoided. But what is something that you and I can learn from this? Did Moses respond negatively? Did he respond negatively to people that spoke ill about him? And beyond that, what is God's response in all of this? Well, number one, the Lord heard it. And when you and I make a practice, when we act out of anger, do you think last night the Lord heard me? And I just love my youngest son, love all my sons. I get home and, you know, something else happened. And he says to me, Dad, remember that when you're talking tomorrow about why did I do that? I'm thinking, you little jerk. The reality, the Lord heard it. He hears you and I. He is there to listen. That when you and I become angry over what has been said or done to us, then something that begins in the heart exits out our mouth. You don't have to be around somebody long enough to find out where they are in life by what they say. Miriam and Aaron, they're not only dissatisfied that Moses marries a black woman, which has nothing to do with anything. You want to talk about racism in the early days. They're mad at Moses because of the favor of God that is all over his life and that God speaks to him literally face to face. Be careful what you say, or should I emphasize first, what you let come into your heart, what you ponder in your heart. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart because everything you do flows out of it. You ponder that, you get upset, you get angry, and you just let that fester. And I'm telling you, I've met people that they'll let stuff fester, not for a week or a month. I'm talking decades. But you and I need to be careful because the Lord hears it. And I think that if we had that realization in our mind, when we want to talk bad about or to somebody, that we need to realize God hears that. Amen, Pastor. So what is Moses' response? He's got this authority and favor with God that he speaks face to face with the Lord. He's going to strike Miriam and Aaron down. He's going to let that leprosy eat her alive. That's not what he does. He takes the supernatural God-given authority and he prays for the ones that are attacking him. And that should be our response. Verse 3, Moses was a very humble man, more than anyone on the face of the earth. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't go on the attack bandwagon telling others what is wrong with Miriam and Aram. He never jumps on the drama train to inflate it to be more than what it is. He doesn't pull out his phone and go on Facebook and go for this long rant or Twitter or Instagram. He prays for them. In fact, he never even talks about what they're mad about with them. He just prays for them. Aaron says, please don't let this happen. So he calls him my Lord. Please don't let this happen to her. Pray for her. And the Bible says Moses prays for her. He doesn't put any restrictions. Yeah, but you did this, and you're going to have to do that, and you need to go and tell this person and that person. He doesn't do any of it. He doesn't say anything. He prays for them. And Jesus does the same thing. The Bible says he could have called legions of angels to defend him when he went to the cross. But you know what Jesus does? He says this, for God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember the story in Genesis? Joseph finds himself after his own family sells him off to the gypsy band. And now, through a series of events, he's brought up to the number two man on the face of the earth. And when the same brothers in the family come to him because they're starving, Joseph, he doesn't condemn them. He says, what you did, you meant evil, but God meant something good. And he blesses them. There is a moment that will come to your life and mine that you have the ability to make the choice that will take you higher or will lead you lower. Now listen, you all need to be listening to me right now, I'm telling you. Because this is going to help somebody in here in such a powerful way. Luke 14:11, Jesus says this. He said, all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, they'll be put down. And those who humble themselves, they'll be exalted. The way up. Somebody told me a long time ago, the old man said, the way up is down. If I push myself up, God pushes me down. If I humble myself, he lifts me up. If I allow other people to go first, if I'm a blessing to people around me, 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. It's all up to God. He will do it. So how do I do this? What do I do? Number one, you got to choose to trust God to defend you rather than just defending yourself. It's an endless road if you go down that route. And the reality of it is that maybe you weren't right. When you're so upset and you think this other person should do this or do that, the reality of it is maybe you weren't right in some of it yourself. And you may discover, even in the midst of it, that you were right, but your attitude was so wrong that it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It's just wrong how you acted. But the bottom line is this. Will I give up my need to win the argument? I talk to some people, they got to be first, and they're going to get into an argument. They're going to have the last word. They want to defend themselves. And it's all rooted in this element of pride. And God wants to help us because your destiny is connected to that very thing. I said this in the first service, you know, years ago, that this man in the city, he wasn't necessarily in the city. He's a pastor. He's going around telling everybody, that guy can't pastor a church. He's never been to Bible college. He's not, I don't even think he's ordained. He's not a reverend. No, I'm still not. Ask my wife. She'll tell you there's nothing reverent about me. He just was going after me vicious. Bugged me. I had a pastor tell me, let it go. That was hard. And then one day, years later, I get a call from an attorney in town. He said, so-and-so, this man's name. He said, he's in trouble. There's people coming against him. They're trying to take the church. And I'd like to know if you would help mediate that. I got to tell you, my first response was, oh, yeah, I'll mediate that. And then God just No, you're going to help. And that man and those people that came against me came right up into my office. Here's these two attorneys. Here's these people. They hate one another. And there I am. Hi, how's everybody doing today? And God uses me in the middle of that to bring restoration and healing. I'm going to tell you what, the sword was in my hand. I could have lopped his ear off. I could have done whatever I wanted. And I'm not standing here saying, but the Lord directed me to be peaceful. Because inside of me, like Paul said, that sin inside of me, I just wanted to say, you're getting what you brought on yourself. Nope, didn't say it. Let it go. God used us, worked it out, and we've moved on from there. Isn't that the better way in the end? Come on, I said, isn't that the better way in the end? And then lastly, ask forgiveness and give it. It is humbling to ask for forgiveness, because when you do that, you acknowledge that you had a part in the wrong. And it's humbling to give forgiveness because you have to relinquish the right to hold something over someone else's head. Are you listening to me today? So this is the pathway to help us from doing these things all the time. So why did that happen? Why is this happening again? Because the reality of if two people are in conflict, they had the opportunity to humble themselves, come together, and the ones that do that take the step towards this great peace and towards this great hope. So what are the benefits of seeking humility? Relief from stress, impressing others that you have nothing to prove. It brings contentment to the soul. There's less striving for things and position. Increased confidence in God. You rest from your own works so God can work on your behalf. It opens up the flow of God's grace and favor in your life. Can I tell you something? God will bless you and he'll give you favor in your life. He'll cause you to stay young when you get older. Come on, amen to that. He will bring promotion to you in a way that you never will imagine. He'll give you wells you didn't dig. He'll give you land you didn't invest in. He will bless your life when you seek humility in life. And then here's some signs that you may need it. You're in a conflict with someone and you refuse to bring resolution to it. Can I tell you something? It's only going to make you older. It's going to hurt you personally and physically. You're offended at someone because you haven't turned loose the offense. You're frustrated because others aren't recognizing your ability, what you think you have. You're depressed because you don't think you perform good enough. And you're so focused on yourselves that you never express admiration for what others do. Can I tell you something? I'm going to leave you with this, and I want those that are going to help with communion, come on down. When you brag on other people about how great what they do, how, you know, I don't care, man, you look so great. Thank you for who you are. You show that love and kindness. God will use that, and it'll be like a mirror. It will come back into your life. Some of you this morning, as I'm sharing this, it's like somebody's putting their finger right in a wound in your life. Go ahead and begin to hand the cup and the bread out, and when you receive it, hold it. We'll all partake together. But for some of you, when I'm sharing this morning, it's personal. Listen, I know everybody's got a reason not to let it go. Everybody. I've become very vulnerable often. That's not, I don't like to air laundry, but I want to identify with you to tell you that if you're struggling with this, you're not. It's not like you're weird or something. There's a natural bent to this, but that doesn't mean we have to stay there. Can I just say this with husbands and wives? If you're going to stay married long enough, your spouse is going to do things that are going to torque you off, just going to irritate the dickens out of you. Now, I know in my marriage and my relationship that I've never done anything like that with my wife so that she gets upset or, you know, weirded out or anything with me. But I have to say there has been times that it's just been challenging. And if we held on to that all the time, we would never have the blessing that God wanted to give us. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. I want to speak to a husband and a wife right now. There have been times in our relationship. Honey, come on up here. Just come up here. I don't want you to be down there and me up here telling these personal things. There have been times in our relationship that neither of us wanted to go forward. Am I saying the truth? I look today, not just at her and I look at today of the fruit of us not making that decision. Andrew, come here. Come here. Just come here. You can bring that with you. Here's one of them. I would do anything in my power if I could only have looked to see the end from the beginning. It wouldn't have been the struggle so much. But I'm so glad that through God's grace, go ahead. I'm so glad through His grace. And maybe you're here today, you say, well, I didn't make that decision. You can start today. You can start right now. You can start making those decisions, the right ones. Pastor Aaron, Pastor Ryan, come up. You don't have to wait. You can do what's right now. And right while we partake in communion together, let God's Holy Spirit guide and rule your life. If you're struggling in an area of, you don't want to let go, and this has been a reoccurrence in your life. Why did I do that? Why is this happening to me again? Why am I here again? Instead of looking in every other direction, this is a moment where we have a moment of self-introspection and say, God, look inside of me. If there's something that you want to change, do it right now.
Amen. As we take in communion, just remember, it's a time to remember not only His sacrifice that was given on the cross, but the salvation through the sacrifice that is given for each and every one of us. As we self-reflect over our lives, as we self-reflect over that humility that Pastor was talking about, or the changes maybe that we need to make in our lives, know that the sacrifice brought that salvation for every single one of us this morning. Amen. So Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He took the bread, He blessed it, and He broke it. And then He said to His disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take the bread together.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bible says His blood was pouring out as a covenant between God and man for the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing of the why'd I do that. We thank You that You've washed us. Father, we thank You that You're a God that loves us. Father, we thank You that You've, by Your blood, You've forgiven us. We receive that forgiveness. We receive Your covenant, Your promise to us. We remember You as we take of the cup. Would You receive in Jesus' name?
Prayer people, just make your way to the altar. Lord, we're so grateful for the moving of Your Holy Spirit in
in this house, in our lives. Help us in this area of our lives, God. Help us to be who you've made us to be. And pray your goodness and your kindness and your favor over every life today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody said amen. You need prayer. You're struggling with one of these areas. Come on down. Let one of these folks pray with you and pray over you today. You're not made to do it alone. You're better together. Okay? I love you. Go in God's grace today.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day.